Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am not these bubblegum dudes you talk to.
Pedro Fernandez.
He will be mine in round nine. And if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to four.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of being on top. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. Straight up, I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and I'm an award-winning writer. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan, I've always found out the average fan knows a little bit more. They've got a different insight. So at the top of each hour, I will open up the toll-free listening line just for you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. That's the listener line. Of course, there's a studio text line. The studio text line, no guilt, 415-275-1613. The no guilt, no commitment studio text line, once again, number 415-275-1613. Well, Jake Paul was the winner last night. Why am I bringing that out as the top headline? Because he's drawing the headlines. He's drawing the people. He's selling out arenas. He's selling out pay-per-views. He's making money. Bottom line is, the people under him are also making money. Amanda Serrano, she's been on this show in the past. She made $275,000 last night. More power to her. But guess what? She wouldn't have made it without Jake Paul. So more power to Jake Paul. He's throwing that money to the undercard. I mean, the last fight card he had, he split $1 million up underneath the undercard. So 10 fighters split $1 million. That's $100,000 apiece. Figure it out. That's a good deal. Straight up, Jake Paul's a good guy. We'll talk about him and his win over Tyrone Woodley. But, of course, we'll talk about the world of boxing in depth. Maybe we'll touch on the UFC as well in this hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. And, of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and Veev TV, WBC TV. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
With so much uncertainty, just play it safe. I mean, if you are vaccinated, still you have to be cautious and wear the mask. I mean, there's no hurry. We have lived a great life, and there's so many happy moments ahead in everyone's future. Just let this pass, be intelligent, get your vaccine, wear your mask, protect your family, protect your loved ones, your friends, and we will together make it out. This is so unfair to have someone go through a process and then the guy next to you ignore it and then be bound to go to a hospital and die. Mm. So many beautiful, dear people who did not have the option to have a vaccine passed away. So many people have suffered all over the world. We should all work together. And if you have a different belief, then okay, but stay home. Don't go out and don't be part of the continuation of a new wave.
El Presidente Mauricio Sulaiman of the World Boxing Council talking about the COVID shot. I got my booster about, I guess, 2 weeks ago. Felt a little side effects for about 2 days, day and a half. Fever, weird feeling, you know, just didn't feel good. I was a bit of a jerk, you know, I just emotionally. So, I you know, anyway, bottom line is I use that probably as an excuse to be a jerk. Anyway, the bottom line was I'm fine. 2 weeks later, I feel good. Of course, we've got this new variant going out right now, so you probably want to get vaccinated the best you can. If you have taken that Johnson & Johnson vaccine, like the one-shot type of thing, evidently that's not even coming close to battling this new variant. So I'm not an expert on this, but I ask you to consult your doctor. If you haven't got vaccinated yet, those are the only people really dying. The people that are really sick have other conditions, and those that didn't take the vaccination. So go get vaccinated. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check out their website, their interactive website at WBCBoxing.com. Big weekend of boxing. Want to talk about Artur Beterbiev. 17-0, 17 knockouts. Yikes. I mean, the guy is a WBC and IBF, I believe, light heavyweight champion. He's got a couple of belts there. Of course, that's 175 pounds. You would think he would be the likely opponent for Canelo Alvarez, but Canelo is going to move to cruiserweight instead because he's already beat a light heavyweight in Sergey Kovalev, and we'll get to Kovalev in just a minute. But anyway, yikes. I just have to tell you that Marcus Brown came to fight. Marcus Brown can fight. I mean, he isn't the greatest puncher in the world, but nobody's the greatest puncher in the world. I don't know how you would beat this guy, Beterbiev. I mean, I thought about it all night. I mean, not all night, but, you know, I kept thinking about, how would I beat this guy? How would I beat this guy? How would I beat this guy? And some guys, maybe you just can't beat him with your hands. So what I'm trying to say is that if I were to fight Artur Beterbiev, I'd probably want to have like a baseball bat, one loaded with lead. Because I was watching him bleed last night. Nothing seemed to stop him. Nothing seemed to deter him. He's 17-0 with 17 knockouts. Yikes. He's 37 years old. That's the negative on him. He's 37 years old. Some people think he's getting too old. But I looked at him again, and I'm trying to figure out, how would you beat this guy? Can you beat him with movement? I don't know, because he's going to track you down and whack you because he hits hard with both hands. I mean, I'm not trying to say he's like Ernie Shavers, but he hits hard. He hits to the point where you can hear his punches landing on TV, and this is with a crowd in the background. So I'm telling you, this guy can really punch. There's no doubt about it. 17-0, 17 whacks. I can see why Canelo went to 200 pounds instead. But straight up, at 175 pounds, Beterbiev is the best without a doubt. Now, the rest of the weekend, of course, Jake Paul, one-punch knockout in the sixth round of Tyrone Woodley. In fact, maybe we'll play that earthquake piece a little bit later for Jake Paul and Tyrone Woodley. But it was a rematch. Of course, it was Woodley, he's a UFC fighter. He's not really a great boxer. The last time, I think they went the distance. And of course, that sold a whole lot of pay-per-view homes. Last night sold a whole lot of pay-per-view homes. So I'm not – listen, don't hate the player. If you want to hate the game, I understand that. But don't hate the player. Jake Paul is the player. I mean, he's the guy that's paying people. I wish to God that he was around or people – of his ilk, the fact that, you know, he's distributing the money. He's spreading the money around. And people say, so what? He's spreading the money. No, this is significant. It hasn't happened before. Mike Tyson never threw $1 million at his undercard. Mike Tyson has some desperate-looking dudes fighting on his undercard, scratching nickels and dimes, okay? And guess what? He never threw $1 million. Tell you what, let me throw $1 million at the undercard and let them split it up, even though he could have wrote it off. See, I don't know. Jake Paul's probably writing this off. More power to him. But the fact that he's doing it. I remember I had that greedy uncle of mine. I had an uncle that sold a high-tech computer chip firm about 15, 20 years ago for $350 million. He sold it for $300 down in Silicon Valley. He's one of the pioneers of Silicon Valley. I want to distinguish him by mentioning his name. But anyway, he sold this company for $350 million. And he's telling me that he's going to have to pay this much millions and millions of dollars in tax. We're doing this over dinner, right? So I said to him, hey, why don't you sponsor my show for $100,000? Because advertising is 100% write-off, is a tax, 100% write-off, tax write-off. I said, you can give me $100,000. I said, and you know, we could both win out on this one, man. He said no, that cheapskate, that no good bastard. Anyway, bottom line is I haven't talked to him since, or my aunt. Coincidence? I don't think so. On the flip side, Jake Paul's throwing that money out. Last night, Amanda Serrano made $275,000. She was a one-punch winner, of course, a one-punch knockout winner. Girls got it going on. Girl's got it going on. Another girl has got it going on. Cienessa Sastrada. I just love her. I just love her. She's 22-0 now. Another one-punch knockout. Girls got it going on last night. She knocked out Maria Santizo. Santizo came in undefeated 9-1 with 5, but man, one punch KO, I think it was in the fourth round. That was pretty. A lot of one punch knockouts lately. Why is that? I don't know. They just come and they come and they go. They come and they go. I mean, sometimes you get decisions to see, like in the UFC card. Sometimes some UFC cards, like, they all go to the scorecards, man. That's a long night of UFC, right? And then some nights, they all go, they're all knockouts or submissions. Same thing on boxing. You never really can tell. Although the matchmaker, when he lays out the card on paper, I've done matchmaking. I was a licensed matchmaker in the state of California. In fact, I was the oldest matchmaker in the history of the state of California. And I wasn't even that old. I was in my 30s. They said my birthday was November 24th, 1900. I kid you not. That's what they put on my license. So I had a matchmaker's license that said November 24th, 1900. That's not, obviously not my birthday. It's off a couple of years anyway. But the bottom line is I've done some matchmaking. And when you lay out a card on paper, you know, you've got your guys that you're going to, that's already on the card, like your local guys. Maybe you got a champ or something like a local regional champ, something like that. Anyway, you've got your guys that you're going to get opponents for. So you want to get opponents to these guys that aren't going to roll over for them. I mean, that's the worst thing ever. When you have a guy that like lays down like a dog, oh man, it's just terrible. You don't want that happening on your show. So you want to get formidable foes. Guys are going to fight a little bit, but then again, you don't want to get your guys beat unless they can't fight at all. And then, you know, you can't protect them. You just can't protect them, okay? So I remember a couple of times here in the city by the bay, I put guys in here local that were in tough, put them in tough, got them in tough, got them beat. Of course, the hometown decision went with them, and they got the nod, this and that, but they couldn't take the hint, man, that they couldn't fight. A couple of fights later, they were sleeping. In fact, they were sleeping like Tyrone Woodley. Somebody asked me how long did it take Tyrone Woodley to get up. They're still counting. Like Earthquake will say, 248, 249, 249. They're still counting. Zerto Ramirez was the winner last night. Of course, he's a light heavyweight of note, too, a former cruiserweight. Made note at 190 pounds, 200 pounds as a cruiserweight champion. Dropped down to 175 now. He's still undefeated. Zerto beat Yuni Gonzalez. Yuni Gonzalez, I think it was in the 10th round of stoppage there. Of course, that was on the zone. Showtime had boxing with the Jake Paul card. Of course, David Morrell was the winner. He beat a guy by the name of Alanis Fox. Of course, David Morrell is an unknown Cuban commodity. He's 6-0 now with 5 knockouts. He's out of Cuba. Why he got a shot at the WBA title with just a couple of fights, I just don't know. But the bottom line is he's got connections. There's no doubt about it. But he can also fight because he seems to be able to handling this world-class competition. Joseph Parker beat Derek Chisora again. Of course, that was a second fight. Joseph Parker was on the show, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. I think when he held the WBO title, or right around that title reign he had. Anyway, he's another guy that wanted to be great, okay? Another guy that wanted to be great. And you look at his genetics, you know, he's got a nice body and he throws punches well, this and that, but he's not hungry enough. He's from down under. I'm talking about New Zealand and, anyway, bottom line is he's an islander, but he ain't hungry like an islander. He's hungry. He's not hungry like an islander. He's hungry like a white guy from the States. That's the way I gotta put it. Just the way I gotta be. You gotta be hungry. Just like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., of course, a winner last night over David Zegarra. Julio coming back now, of course, a former WBC 160-pound champion, now fighting at 175. Of course, the guy that was having sex in the locker room before a fight down there at the LA Forum, when the referee came in to give him the final instructions, you know, because the referee doesn't give you the final instructions down the ring, they give you the final instructions in the dressing room. So he comes into the dressing room and goes, "Where's Julio Jr.?" And he's in the back banging some girl in the showers. Can you wait till he's done, please? So the referee actually had to leave and come back when Chavez was done having sex with this girl. Anyway, that's how undisciplined he was, you know, coming up as a fighter. And, of course, you can't expect him. You can't expect him to be as disciplined as his father. His father lived in railroad cars and ate nothing. You know what I'm saying? Lived in railroad cars in Tijuana. Lived in a train car. You know what a train car is? A train car, a steel train car on the tracks. I kid you not. That's how his father lived. You think he can be hungry like his father? Want things like his father? Never. No way, no how. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer talks about the weekend or more after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk and WBC TV.
So you don't want to fight me again?
Feel free.
You're the one that got wobbled, almost sent through the rope.
Tattoo.
I'm not scared of running back.
If you get the tattoo, I love Jake Paul. Let's run it back.
Bet. Let's go.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
Fighters had to dance around Tyrone Woodley last night. Straight up, he's still laying on the canvas. I mean, it was like 2,445. I mean, you just keep counting. Bottom line is, he was knocked out clean with one punch. It was a horrible fight up to that point, but Jake Paul, the internet sensation, call him what you want. I think he's 5-0 now with 4 knockouts, or 4-0 now with 3 knockouts. Bottom line is, he was the winner last night in a Showtime pay-per-view card that was a winner as well as far as the money was concerned, because anything this guy touches turns to gold. He's got the Midas touch. That's just what I say. Don't like him as a boxer. If you're a boxing fan, that's up to you. But the bottom line is, he sells tickets. Now, let's bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr., sir. A very exciting weekend of boxing. The Zone, ESPN, Fox Sports 1, Facebook Watch, Fight Network, Showtime Pay-Per-View, Box Azteca. There was a lot of fights on yesterday.
Yes, there was. Some could argue this, you know, the cynic in me says, you know, do we care about quantity or quality? But, you know, it was pretty good. It was entertaining fights on yesterday. A lot of fighters, you know, right before the holidays getting some checks. So that's a good thing. And fight fans, were entertained to say the least, especially with Chisora and Parker.
No, we'll get to that in a minute. But just outside of the amateurs, nobody likes training, and nobody really fights in December. The amateurs have cards like early in January and late in December and things like that, qualifying matches. But, you know, for the pros, for the most part, it's always been like a quiet time. But now with fights being on the Zone and fights being coming to us from all around the planet, I mean, like, so I think the fight came from Ukraine this weekend. Bottom line is, boxing is international, and now it's happening as far as instantaneous stuff's concerned. I mean, I hit my apps this weekend. I hit the Zone and I hit ESPN Plus.
Yeah, as for sure. This is something new. Traditionally, this is a dead period in terms of fights, and it seems like the wave. Yesterday, Eddie Hearn was banging his chest that they did 40 shows this past year, and they look to do, 44 shows. They're looking to do 50 next year. So, hey, there's only 52 weeks in the year. So that's a lot of boxing. And it is a crummy time to train, especially through Thanksgiving if you're an American and the Christmas season. But there's only one way to get paid, and that's to fight. So.
Making weight, man, making weight. I told you what it was like when we went to Colorado Springs to the Western Olympic Trials. They said, you're going to run in the morning. I said, no problem. I'm saying, man, I can't wait to get out there and run. So when they woke us up at 5 o'clock, we were running at 5:30. I said, I got all bundled up, got my hoodies on, the whole nine yards, you know, my rubber suit. I was ready to go. I went outside. It was like snowing. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to go back inside. I said, no, you're not going back inside, son. You got to run now. What pissed me off about that was Henry Tillman, my buddy, of course, the former Olympic gold medalist in 1984 and the NABF heavyweight champion. He used to get up at 11 o'clock. That's what it meant. They had their Olympic team already chosen. You hear what I'm trying to say, Sock?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of politics that go into amateur boxing, for sure.
The worst. I mean, as far as boxing is concerned, I'm telling you, as far as amateur and pro, I think there's more politics in amateur boxing. Now, David Morrell, you told us who he was yesterday. Is he impressive to you? He was a winner last night over Alanis Fox.
I think, you know what, I still think that I need to see more. He has this bogus trinket, you know, by the WBA, we all know that the real super middleweight champion is Canelo Alvarez. in that weight class. Will he ever get a shot at him? Probably not. But the guy, he's doing his part. You know, they're putting in opponents that are tailor-made for him, and he's taking them out. You know, he's a knockout artist. That's what people like to see. And there are some names that, he can cut his teeth against. One of which would be Benavidez.
I'm glad you brought him up. I'm glad you brought up Mr. David Benavidez. Of course, the undefeated lad at 168, former WBC title holder at 168 until he, like, had some coke problems. Let's be honest about it. He has some coke problems. And, of course, he said he cleaned himself up. We wish him the best. Of course, he's looking good of late. He's going to hook it up in a WBC vacant title bout because they're going to give Canelo this opportunity to fight at cruiserweight. He's going to take on David Lemieux, of course, out of Canada. Lemieux's a puncher. He's going to come. He's going to fight. But David Benavidez right now, I think he's the better of the two.
Absolutely. I think David Lemieux has definitely seen better days. And it's funny, David Lemieux was kind of like this prodigy. He used to appear in these boxing instructional videos with the coach. He does the rival boxing, Abner.
Okay.
I forget. Russ, I'm butchering his name, but he's a great guy. But David Lemieux kind of hit his peak. You know, he couldn't get over the hump in the big fights. He was bested once by Alcin back in junior middleweight and then stopped by Gennady Golovkin. He seems to be tailor-made for Benavidez. And once again, we get a C-level fight when we're all waiting for a big fight from Benavidez.
Okay.
When is he going to fight Charlo?
No, when is Charlo going to fight him?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what it boils
down to.
When's
Charlo anybody with a pulse?
I mean, listen, I tried to get a fight with Charlo. You know what he told me? You're not old enough. I said, okay. And he told me I'm not old enough. And I said, okay. Oh, and here's that sock. I don't know if I told you this. Yeah, I think we did mention this yesterday. But I took that life screening exam, you know, where they do the scans and they take the tests and all this kind of good stuff. And they do blood tests and all this kind of good stuff. So anyway, when they came out and they said that I was overweight, and I looked at my 30-inch waist, I was a little appalled. But the bottom line is, I guess, muscle doesn't count.
BMI. We could spend the whole show on this. BMI is not accurate. It's not for every single ethnic body type. How's that?
All right, let's change subjects. Derek Chisora put up a good fight against Joseph Parker again. It went 12 rounds. Scores were 115, 111 twice, and 114, 112. Why does Joseph Parker keep taking these pedestrian-like fights, fights he's supposed to win? And, hey, fights he's supposed to win, but he's not winning them in a spectacular manner. He's not.
Well, you know, any time you step in there with Chisora, it's not going to be an easy night. I mean, yes, he won, clearly. He clearly won that fight. He battered Chisora. But Chisora tried hard, and he had his moments in that fight. And it's been a while since Joseph Parker's had a title shot. And I think he's kind of earned it, but he's got to wait his turn. I mean, there's only so many, I mean, between Fury and then Usyk and Joshua, Fury's supposed to fight Dillian White. So he's kind of just been patient and I got to give Joe Parker credit. You know, he's keeping himself busy. What's next? I guess he probably just
251 pounds.
Yeah. He didn't look svelte, but I think he needed that extra weight because, I mean, Chisora's a big boy, you know, and remember, that was a big reason why he made Usyk look so bad. He's just a big dude and he comes straight forward. So I think he definitely wanted that extra weight and I think he handled it well. His hand speed was good. I think he's doing good work with Andy Lee. You kind of question his killer instinct. A little bit. There was a couple of moments that you thought that he could have taken Chisora out, and he just couldn't do it. You know, but I think Joe's going to still have his one more shot. He just has to be patient.
Did you happen to see my girl Cienessa Estrada this weekend?
Oh, I saw the knockout. I didn't see the fight. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, but I saw the highlight. She gets better every time out.
She's the baddest woman on the planet. I think she's better than Amanda Serrano. Amanda's probably going to come down to the studio and kick my ass for that. But the bottom line is, I think pound for pound, she's better than Amanda. I think she's the best, man.
She gets better and better. And it's funny because I remember when they brought her in, when she first made TV, she was kind of on the B side. She was fighting the former Olympian. I can't remember her name. And she whipped her. And ever since then, she's improving. She's really, really talented. And definitely in the mix with best pound for pound.
You got a few minutes for me after the break?
Absolutely.
All right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, coming to you on Veev TV. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. We'll be back with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is just a fact of life.
Minutes past the hour. This is hour number one of two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm supposed to bring in Jimmy Ford, who runs an amateur boxing gym here in the Bay Area in Brisbane, California, has for about 25 years, to give him a bit of a distinguished service award, and he's going to stiff me. He's not coming. So the guy that he was supposed to come with is sick, doesn't feel like coming. Bottom line is, Jimmy, we will get you in the studio hopefully soon and honor you as you deserve to be noted. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Canelo Alvarez is supposed to fight a guy at cruiserweight. Going to make this guy come down from 200 pounds to 190 pounds. His name is Ulanga Jr. Makubu. He is 28-2. He's been stopped in those two fights. Hint, hint. 25 KOs. what are you chuckling about, Socrates?
Okay, I'm kind of realizing how he his qualifications to fight the best pound for pound fighter in the world. But go ahead.
Well, he beat Tony Bellew. I mean, right. I take it back. He lost to Tony Bellew. He lost to Tony Bellew. That's one of the guys he got stopped by. But the bottom line is, they're going to make this guy sweat down to 190 pounds. Donnie Allon came down to 168 to defend his 175 pound title with Ray Leonard. He made a whole lot of money doing so. Is the money worth the risk? I mean, put it this way. This guy probably couldn't make a lot of money anywhere else. He's going to make more with Canelo Alvarez than he ever will in 15 or 20 of his fights, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Listen, I think it's a smart business decision. At the end of the day, this is prize fighting, you know, and you have to, you know, he's got a good manager for sure. I believe, is he promoted by Don King?
Is Don still promoting anybody? Don doesn't take my calls anymore. You know why?
Why, sir?
Because when I call from my own phone. It says AAA Discreet Investigations. And Don looks down at the phone. And Don looks down at the phone. He says, I ain't picking up that phone for nothing. Okay? He, you know, and when I try to tell him, don't you remember I'm a PI, I'm an ex-cop? You know, anyway, Don's a little paranoid in his old age. 9 years old, of course, Bob Arum turned 90 as well. The two godfathers of boxing promotion for the last half a century, without a doubt. And Bob Arum's still going, and Bob Arum's still cantankerous, maybe even sometimes truculent, but he's still out there and he's involved. Don King's been on the back burners for a long time.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that happened to Don King is that HBO really, you know, cut him off, you know, and then Showtime, little by little, they cut him off. And, you know, I think the last time Don had a show, he had to, you know, it was a pay-per-view from Hollywood, Florida. Okay. You know, he's got a version of the heavyweight title, in the WBA.
Mr. Char and Brian, something like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, look at his resume. I mean, every time I've told you this before, is that he made a lot of money when guys fought for him. In other words, he had Carl King sometimes as their manager. Sometimes that was good and sometimes it was bad. I remember with James Page, the WBA welterweight champion, they would move him up to 154 to fight Tito Trinidad. He would have still kept his title at 147. They told him, we're going to give you $1.4 million, but you're only going to take home 550 grand because Carl King's going to get a third and taxes and this and that. And his mother said no. And I said, listen, that's 500 grand more than you can make anywhere else. Please, please, please take the fight. and she didn't. Instead, she went and fought Alfred Sixhead Lewis and got knocked out. She saw six heads across the ring. I'm talking about James Page. But the bottom line is, sometimes you just got to go with the money. I mean, Don King made these guys into superstars for the most part, and if you watched your money, you knew what time it was. If you didn't watch your money, Don was probably going to get the better of you.
Listen.
Nice way to put it.
Absolutely. Hey, but that's life. I mean, you know, you have never let someone else count your own money. I think that's the golden rule, especially if you're dealing with, you know, big dollars, and you are the commodity. You have to know your worth. Don King, say what you will about him, you never got garbage like on a pay-per-view show. I mean, think about it. Back in the day, I mean, you would have Felix Trinidad, Julio Cesar Chavez, Terry Norris, all on one card.
Yeah,
that's amazing. You would never see that. I know the money's a lot different now, but regardless, I mean, he was the fight fans promoter. You know, he put on the best cards. You know, and, those days are long gone.
In 89, he tried to get me to do a little bit of a boxing comeback. I'll never forget. I was schooling a couple of guys, including Saul Mambi, at the Times Square gym for a WBC convention. I schooled these guys, man. I mean, I was just on top of my game that day, and I was a year into retirement. But I was in good shape, and Don says to me, he says, you know, Pedro, maybe you could do something, this and that. You know, maybe you could beat up some of your adversaries, some of the other writers, this and that. So he was trying to get me to lump up other writers. I mean, that's what Don was thinking about. We could have, fighter, writer versus writer, this and that, and put it on undercard. But he was always thinking, man, and of course, not always in your best interest. But then again, when I was doing this international TV for him with Colonel Bob Sheridan, you know, he said to me, do you have a nanny for your daughter? I mean, things like that. Don King's a CEO. He doesn't need to be asking about my babysitting situation.
Yeah. I mean, some people like that, you know, like you think the worst of them and then they just hit you with something out of left field.
This is what I've learned in boxing. This boxing has really, really taught me this. The way you get along with somebody is not the way I'm going to get along with somebody sometimes. In other words, sometimes this guy's your partner, but he's not my partner. Me and him, we went to blows, I mean, basically almost, and this and that. But that's just the way it goes. You got to learn how to respect those borders. But that, without that, there would be no boxing game. I mean, you've got to have adversarial issues, and that sort of sets things up, whether you're a writer or a fighter. Saki there?
Hey. A little flash knockdown there. I don't know what happened.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about Amanda Serrano making $275,000 last night. That's big money.
Huge money. And, you know, yes, it's easy to dislike Jake Paul and to go against the circus act that it is. But you know what? Where else is Amanda Serrano going to make that type of money fighting Miriam Gutierrez? Never.
I'll put it to you like this. He's good for boxing. I'm not dogging this guy for boxing. He's selling out arenas. People are showing up for his cards. People are buying the pay-per-views. People are getting paid underneath him. I mean, I'll say it again. I said this earlier. Did you ever hear about Mike Tyson or Sugar Ray Leonard or Marvin Hagler? Marvin Hagler was a cheap, cheap bastard. But anyway, you ever hear any? He was the cheapest, man. He was so, not as cheap as Rocky Marciano, because Marciano was so cheap he flew himself to death. Flew into a death trap. But you know what Marciano did with his airline ticket that day, right? He had a Pan Am airline ticket and he cashed it in. He refunded it so he could fly in the back of some charter plane and got killed.
Wow, that's ridiculous cheap.
Cheapest dude in the world. Used to walk into a tailor shop and would expect them to give him a suit for free. This is long after, I kid you not, Rocky had chutzpah. He was Italian, but he had chutzpah.
Wow, I didn't know that story. But, it must be a New England thing with cheap fighters, you know. Putting him in the line with Marvin.
Okay. Denis Benichek beat Isa Chanov. I believe that took place over in the Ukraine. So ESPN Plus was in Ukraine yesterday. Joseph Parker and those guys were from the UK on DAZN. Chavez Jr. was coming to us from Mexico. You know, fights from fights from the United States as well, but fights are happening, man, and they're happening around the world. Boxing is becoming more global. But the best got to fight the best. So I'm just getting tired of calling out these lightweights. You know, I mean, you know, Gervonta Davis talking smack. None of these guys, they're all talking smack, but I don't see these guys saying, you know what? I'm willing to go down to fight George Kambosos for 15 cents in Australia because I think I can beat him. You know, I mean, nobody's willing to say that. Why? If he's such an easy mark, if Hector implies he's an easy mark, even though he beat his guy, Teofimo Lopez, I mean, why aren't the guys lining up to fight Kambosos? Why aren't they?
I think they are.
Are they?
I think they are. I think he definitely shows that the jury's still out. You know, maybe that was a one-hit wonder.
Not
you know, a little
one.
Lloyd Honeygun action. You know, Teofimo Lopez. We don't know.
Ooh,
we don't know. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, going into the fight, you know, he was a considerable underdog, you know, and he fought maybe the fight of his life. But I think someone will cash in that golden ticket, you know, to go to Australia because it's a big show, you know, and he deserves it. You know, he beat the man who beat the man. And
yeah.
Hopefully.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm cringing when you mentioned Jorge Vaca. I always felt I could beat Jorge Vaca, even when he knocked out Mark Breland. I felt there was nothing. And then he fought Camacho over in Puerto Rico. I was part of the TV team there. But I always felt I could beat Vaca. And Vaca beat Honeygun. Honeygun beat Curry. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, Jorge Vaca? Yikes! I mean, was he the worst WBC champion in history?
I'd have to really do some research, but there's been some questions.
What about
this guy, Luis Santana? That's probably the worst champion of all time.
Oh, you know, Elvis,
New York. Yes.
Grant Fire. Grant Phillips. Grant Phillips, I shared a hotel room with him at the, Dennis Andrews, Tony Willis, WBC heavyweight title, light heavyweight title fight down in Tucson, Arizona. And I came back and I smelled this burn. He uses Nair. He put Nair all over his body. You know what I'm saying? So I said to myself, this probably isn't the guy I want to be sharing rooms with, but I'm from San Francisco. So he probably, maybe they think anything goes. No, anything doesn't go, man. I'm getting another room.
Nair. Wow.
Can you remember that one? Anyway, bottom line is it's been a great week talking to you, of course, but the world of boxing. What do you think that is the end result of this Canelo Alvarez moving up to 190 pounds and fighting this guy at 190 pounds, whatever his name was? I mean, can Canelo beat a guy that big?
We're going to find out, you know. I mean, there's certain guys that their power, you know, transcends weight classes. And apparently Canelo is one of those guys. And he's definitely going to have the advantage with speed. And the punch that hurts you is the one that you don't see coming. So, Canelo will probably be a big favorite going into that fight, but it's probably more, you know, it says about his opponent.
Okay, all right.
What it does is probably a one and done deal.
Okay.
You know, I can see him coming back down to light heavyweight, if anything.
Switching gears to light heavyweight, Beterbiev, good Lord, man. He's like, how do you beat that guy? I talked about it earlier. I wouldn't know how to beat him. Sort of like Zach Padilla. You can't, unless you can hurt him and drop him. And I don't know if you can hurt or drop that guy. He's got a chin of stone.
He's a monster, man. He really is. And I know that word gets thrown around easy, but this guy's a legit beast. He wastes little movement, little energy. He will take two or three to deliver his one, and his one outweighs your two or three. Showed a lot of heart fighting with a nasty gash. That headbutt was ridiculous, and he took out Mr. Marcus Brown. No one beats him other than Father Time.
No doubt about that. Mr. Palmer, you have a good week, good weekend, no doubt about that. It was always a pleasure having your boxing insight here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. We thank you, sir, for your time.
Appreciate it, sir. Have a great rest of your day.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but hardly duplicated. 37 make at 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. More Ring Talk after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
This charted for Lenny Williams. Pretty good little ballad, say so.
Life.
pretty cool, you know, when your girl leaves you and you want her to come back, that kind of good stuff. Another sad song, but sad songs are, well, makes love songs all about, love songs are all about sad songs or glad songs here. The sadder you're glad in the world of romance, no doubt about that, but Lenny's got it going on. May he still be rocking. I think he's 77 years old now. May he rock to 107. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, coming up in hour number two, we'll take it to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. He should be one of boxing's knights. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the Queen of Wolves over there running the show over there should knight him. I mean, just give him some type of award, make him a knight, some type of sir. Anyway, bottom line is Sir Kenneth Rainford will be here in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, you can text me here in the studio if you'd like. The text number, 415-275-1613. Once again, the studio text line. You know, you don't have to, like, commit yourself, call on the phone, you know, get nervous, that kind of good stuff. You can text me here in the studio. Bottom line is, here is the text number, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, guilt-free, no commitment, 415-275-1613. Well, in hour number two, I'm going to expand on Cienessa Estrada. Well, I think she's like the baddest woman on the planet. I kid you not. And of course, Amanda Serrano is a winner as well. But the bottom line is, Miss Estrada, I think she brings a unique flavor to the dance. No doubt about that. And of course, she's calling out all these different girls. Let her go. I think she can go maybe from 105 pounds to like 115 pounds, maybe even 118 pounds, because she's got some incredible boxing ability. I mean, she comes from East L.A. Looks like she's been boxing her entire life. She throws combinations. She can shut up from the southpaw stance, the orthodox stance. She can do it both ways. Bottom line is, she's one hell of a fighter. So we'll talk about her being the pound-for-pound best woman's boxer, I think, in the world right now. We'll talk about that in hour number two. And, of course, as I said, bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. Talk about the UFC 27. Of course, Dana White. What can I say? Dana White, he had an event this weekend. Derek Lewis won the main event, a heavyweight main event. But outside of Francis Ngannou and this guy Gane that they're going to fight in a couple weeks for the UFC heavyweight title, outside of that, the UFC is sort of like, pedestrian. I don't really want to watch it. So straight up, until that heavyweight title fight comes on, I'm not watching the UFC. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is hour number one of two. Come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, of course, and 1,000 other internet platforms, including Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. It's working. And Viv TV and WBC TV. Straight up. Stay tuned for hour number two after those bogus racist news.